The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Dennis Prager here. Thanks for listening to the Daily Dennis Prager Podcast. To hear the entire 3 hours of my radio show, commercial-free, every single day, become a member of Pragertopia. You'll also get access to 15 years' worth of archives, as well as the daily show prep. Subscribe at Pragertopia.com. Hello, everybody. Dennis Prager here. Very scary thing that happened in Nashville, as any murder of children is scary. Most murders of children are isolated events of morally and mentally disturbed individuals. They have no other meaning other than the moral chaos of the time and the moral chaos within the individual who engaged in as horrific a thing as we have in the human species, the mass murder of children. Although you don't need mass, the murder of a child is bad enough. But on rare occasions, and I'm trying to think of an analogy here, do we have another occasion of the murder of children for ideological reasons? Children may have been bystanders to other murders, but not targeted. In the case of school shootings, children are targeted. So we have here something that might, I don't have a reservoir of data in my mind of every single shooting of children in America in the last quarter century, let's say. But we might have crossed a line here, and it is worthy of note. We have here an individual, based on what we know now, an individual who considered herself to be male. From the pictures and the descriptions that I read and saw, she was a female until rather recently, or she identified as a female. She remains a female, or she remained a female, in any objective sense, but objective is now considered a term of white supremacy, even objective answers in math, a subject I will get to later on. She murdered because of anger at Christianity, for having the temerity of stating that there are only two sexes, and you cannot become the other one. That's it. That is what it takes today. Think about it. That is what it takes today to be considered a hater and, in some cases, worthy of death. In fact, the extent of that is made clear by the press secretary of the Arizona governor. It's from the Daily Mail. The press secretary for Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs shared an image of an armed woman in a tweet blasting transphobes. What it takes to be a transphobe is to assert that there were two sexes. That makes you a hater. And that is the position of the New York Times, Washington Post, ABC, CBS, NBC, NPR, PBS, CNN. You realize that? It is the position of most schools. It is the position of nearly every university. to assert that there are two sexes and you cannot become the other one, much as you might wish to, is an act of hate. And you are such a hater that you might be deserving of death. Again, the press secretary for Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs shared an image of an armed woman in a tweet blasting transphobes just hours after a transgender shooter gunned down six in a Christian school. Jocelyn Berry uploaded a GIF of a woman holding two handguns on Monday evening alongside the caption, "Us when we see transphobes." Get that? The picture that she uploaded was of a woman holding two handguns with the caption, "Us when we see transphobes." So if you assert that children should not have hormone blockers, let alone genitalia altering and breast removal surgery, you are worthy of having a gun pointed at you. Came less than 12 hours after Nashville resident Audrey Hale, 28, who had recently adopted the name Aiden, used he-him pronouns, killed three children and three adults in a mass shooting at the Covenant School Monday. Republicans have now called for Berry's firing, follow the distasteful tweet, prompting her to turn her Twitter profile private. The press secretary of Arizona, of the governor of Arizona, now has a private Twitter account. Interesting in and of itself. Berry, who has only worked for Hobbs since January, shared a shot of actress Gina Rowlands in the 1980 movie Gloria. Earlier in the day, she had posted, "If you work in the progressive community and are transphobic, you're not progressive." Another woman that is helping to destroy this society, as there's an increasing percentage of those who are doing this damage are female. Why that is a very, very complex subject, I presume, but certainly worthy of exploration. On Tuesday, DailyMail.com exclusively revealed that Hale, that is the shooter, was at odds with her devout Christian parents because they, quote-unquote, couldn't accept she was gay and transgender. By the way, it's an interesting question. So she's gay and transgender. So if she presents as male and she's a gay woman, so I presume she wants, not presume, that means she wants for physical intimacy, for sex, she wants a woman. So she's presenting as a male to attract a lesbian woman. It's complex. I'm not being cute. I wanted to explain to you what is going on in her mind. Church coordinator Norma, 61, and her husband Ronald refused to let, that is the parents of the murderer, refused to let Hale dress as a man in their home. And so what you do is you murder Christian children and teachers. That is the narcissism of our age in writ large into a sociopathological stance. You object to me, to my behavior, and therefore I murder all of those who are affiliated with your objection. There is no doubt in my mind that there are people on the left who in their hearts feel that this was deserved. After all, if you are a hater, while they're not calling for your death and do not announce officially that they celebrate it, what do you think they would like to happen to haters? We live in a sick age. And it is morally sick as well as psychologically pathologic. And there are terrible prices to be paid. Six people paid the ultimate price because of that. When I look at the pictures of those kids, 6 years old, I think they are, or six or nine. And as a parent, I just think of the parents. It's a disturbing day in American history. There are tweets and billboards announcing that there is genocide against the trans community. If you're trans and you believe that, that's a bad thing. Natural disasters, airline cancellations and runway near misses, supply chain issues, inflation, rising interest rates, and sky-high government debt. This is Dennis Prager for AmFed Coin and Bullion. There's a lot in the news about what consumers cannot control, so let's talk about what you can control. You can control how you choose to invest and protect your wealth. That's why I choose to do business with Nick Grovich and his company, AmFed Coin and Bullion. Now is a great time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. With over 41 years' experience and tens of thousands of satisfied clients, Nick will help you make informed decisions and show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. AmFed Coin and Bullion will sell you the right types of precious metals to get the maximum value for your money. Take control of your investments like I did. Call Nick and his team at AmFed Coin and Bullion at 800-221-7694. AmericanFederal.com. AmericanFederal.com. Beginning, the New York Times and the CNN and others reported that a female shooter had murdered these teachers and students. And then they found out that in the last few months she identified as a male. And so they tripped over themselves to apologize about getting it wrong. New York Times tweets, "There was confusion later on Monday about the gender identity of the assailant in the Nashville shooting. Officials had used she and her to refer to the suspect, who, according to a social media post and a LinkedIn profile, appeared to identify as a man in recent months." So they went on to do the same. If this was not a hate crime, then I don't know. I'm not being hyperbolic or rhetorical. I don't know what is, if that is not a hate crime. She hates Christians. Her parents were Christian. They didn't want her to dress as a boy in their home. Okay. So therefore you murder Christian children and teachers. Make sense? Let's see if I can find, Twitter took it down, but there is, they're calling, who they are, I'm not clear. Some are calling for a day of vengeance, trans related. The idea, this is from WashingtonStand.com. Well, here's from Fox News. Let's read that to you. Radical group's Trans Day of Vengeance moves forward in wake of Nashville school shooting. This is from 2 days ago. A transgender activist group is scheduled to hold a Trans Day of Vengeance outside the Supreme Court on Saturday. just days after a transgender individual opened fire in a Christian school. The time is now. The trans, non-binary, gender non-conforming, intersex communities are facing astronomical amounts of hate from the world. The Trans Radical Activist Network Action on its website promoting a hashtag Trans Day of Vengeance. There it is. Yes, oh, it's right up on the screen if you're watching the Salem News Channel. Trans Day of Vengeance. Stop Trans Genocide. Genocide. This is the continuation of the rape of words that has always been emblematic of the left since Lenin and the Soviets. They did it, by the way, with their own term, Bolshevik. Bolshevik in Russian means majority-nik. And they called their opponents Mensheviks, minority-niks. Bolsha is the same root as the word Bolshoi, as in Bolshoi ballet, means big. So they were the minority, but they named themselves the majority. This is a genocide. There was trans genocide. I'll bet you that a certain percentage, not an insubstantial percentage, of trans people believe that there is genocide taking place against trans. So what do you do? You arm yourself. TRAN describes itself as a network of unapologetic activists fighting for queer liberation and promoted the protest earlier this year on social media. The Twitter account of the group is currently protected, and Fox News Digital was unable to review its tweets Tuesday afternoon. That's yesterday. TRAN's website was still promoting the event as of Tuesday, day after the school shooting in Nashville. The perpetrator, the rest we know. Really, what a sick time. See, we need to be honest here, both in terms of sympathy and in terms of self-protection. If you really believe you are a person of the opposite sex, it is a disturbing thing in you. It is hard to believe that inner peace is truly available to the vast majority of people who are transgender. You say you're a woman, and you've lived a serious part of your life as what you are biologically, a man. You say you're a woman. You don't have a clue what it means to be a woman. Please understand that a man does not know what it means to be a woman, and a woman does not know what it means to be a man. It's an imaginary transition that you are making. The notion that I feel that I am trapped, I am really a woman in a man's body, is a statement of psychological disturbance. It's not a statement of, well, that's a fact that I am a woman trapped in a man's body or a man trapped in a woman's body. And when you get undressed, you are severely reminded of what you are. As a general rule, these are not happy people. They have tremendous unhappiness that led them to this decision. No happy person, I think even the trans community can acknowledge this, no happy person walks around thinking, I am the other sex. And they think that they will be happy, they will attain that universally desired end of happiness by doing something radical. And then it turns out that they aren't happier. And they can acknowledge that they made a mistake in what they did. They can acknowledge that they will never really have happiness. or they can blame the society for their unhappiness. Those who do the latter are frightening. COVIDTaxRelief.org got a small retail business almost $80,000. COVIDTaxRelief.org got a manufacturing business nearly $250,000. And COVIDTaxRelief.org just got a large distribution business almost $900,000. If you run a business, church, or nonprofit and paid your employees through all or part of the pandemic, you could qualify for up to $26,000 per employee through the government's CARES Act. But beware of clickbait or pay up front companies that make you do the work and take a huge percentage of your refund. COVIDTaxRelief.org receives a low, reasonable commission only after you receive your refund. And with 300 CPAs and tax experts, no one is better at getting you the maximum benefit than COVIDTaxRelief.org. Visit COVIDTaxRelief.org now because this plan expires soon. That's COVIDTaxRelief.org, COVIDTaxRelief.org. Refund examples are not a guarantee and not all businesses qualify. Hello, my friends. Dennis Prager here. Go to Atlanta, Georgia, and Peter. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Dennis.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
I do.
Yeah, I have a wish for you, Dennis. I wish you many, many, many transgender grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren. I have a transgender child, and he is a blessing in my life. I believe I've talked to you about him before. I agree with you on nothing and listen to you fairly regularly. And I have the experience when I listen to you and you talk about transgender issues that you're speaking as if you're not bearing in mind that transgender people and their families might be listening to you. I spent the last 6 weeks here in the state of Georgia lobbying against the legislation that will now be challenged in federal court. And if the same thing happens in Georgia that happened in Alabama and Arkansas, it will be enjoined on constitutional grounds that bans health care for my child. And I was engaging in civic participation in a way that I think that my child's Cub Scout troop, at which he pledges allegiance every time he goes, would have been very proud. And I was very proud to engage my government in that way by lobbying. I was very heartbroken that I could not come home to my child and tell him where I had been, because I could not figure out a way to explain to my child what I was doing and why that would not be interpreted by him and any reasonable person in his position as an affront and an attack on the person that he is by the government that he believes in. And, you know, I think that you and your colleagues on this network, like almost all people in media, pick your topics in a way that you think is going to drive eyeballs. You do not invite on just trans folks, trans kids, people like me. You want to talk about, you know, some random website that's talking about trans genocide instead of the 85 families that are in my parent support group from throughout Georgia who love their kids as you love your family and are regular folks. I had breakfast this morning with a couple. One, the father was a Jewish man, as you and I are. He was in tears because he knew that he could not get on the phone and talk to his father, his child's grandfather, about the fact that he is beginning to suspect that his four-year-old, who, thank you very much, has not been groomed by the public schools nor corrupted by TikTok, but who is having an emerging gender identity, which is developmentally appropriate for a preschooler. And this man was in tears that he couldn't imagine getting on the phone with his father because he knew that his father would reject his grandchild's truth. And so, bless the First Amendment, bless your radio show, and remember that we are here, Dennis.
Okay, so if you, I gave you a very long time to speak. I didn't even.
And I will always remember that you did.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. So first, you said one thing that isn't true and which I resent. It has nothing to do with me. Your child is not being denied. Trans children are not being denied medical care. That term is a lie. If a child has cancer or COVID,
if you don't let me talk,
it's a lie that trans are being denied medical care. They are being denied transitional, permanent altering hormones and surgeries before the age of 18. That is not being denied medical care. The term should not be used, and it's just completely dishonest and just foments hate among trans people at those of us who don't believe boys can become girls.
Okay, we are going to amicably disagree.
Right, so you believe, you would continue to say trans kids are being denied health care. Not transitional hormones or surgery. Healthcare.
They are transitional. I think surgery is largely a red herring. Not entirely, but largely.
Fine.
I'm just going to align myself with the American Academy of Pediatrics and the American Medical Association.
That's true. You are. I agree. You are aligned with them. We'll continue. Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager here. Male, female hour. Most honest talk about men and women I am aware of in the American media. Trying to have each sex understand the other, and for that matter, understand themselves. And as I point out, almost each week, I am not a man fan or a woman fan. I am a good person fan. And that should be obvious to anybody who listens to me in general, and certainly on the male-female hour. And no topic is off-limits, because when you place topics off-limits, you are not dealing with, in some cases, some of the most important topics possible, because it's uncomfortable to deal with the subject. As the cliche goes, burying your head in the sand is not a good route to improving one's life, or let alone one's relationship. The topic that I have chosen for today came up in a phone call to me from a man in his 30s who listed some of the reasons it was very difficult for him to find a woman to marry. And he went through a very normal list of things that he would like or he considers essential to finding a woman. He wanted a conservative woman. He wanted a religious woman. He wanted an attractive woman. Oh, fine. No issue. And then noted, and a virgin. And it struck me as, really? And I said something to the effect, I believe I said, I do part company with you there. I don't think that should be on your list, or that it should be disqualifying if she has been with a man. Which, of course, any divorced woman is, and for whatever reason, the vast majority of women in the eligible age of what he wanted would have not been, or would have been with a man. So I am curious, because I never related, I never even really understood. Some things you understand, you understand adultery. Everybody understands adultery. We don't support it, but we understand it. But I don't understand that one. So I'm curious, if you are a woman, have you ever come up against that as an issue with a man you were interested in? By the way, does it matter to you as a woman? I might ask the same question. It's generally not regarded as equally important, but if it is, I'd like to hear from you. Have you met a man who disqualified you because you had been with a man? And can any of you explain why this is important to X number of men? And the X might be very small today, but it might be bigger than I think. I have no idea. Since I don't know anybody, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I do, and we never discussed it. But I don't know anybody for whom this is a sine qua non, an indispensable element in finding somebody. 1-8-PRAGER-776, 877-243-7776. I will say, from a very early age, I found men who themselves were not virgins, but demanded that the woman they marry be one. I found that, and I am no feminist, and I am no believer that the sexes are the same, but in that arena, I have to say I found I had actually disrespect for the man who said that. It's okay that I have been with other women or another woman, but it is not okay for my prospective bride to have been. Is this an ego thing? If so, I don't relate to it. Is this a religious thing? There's no religious demand that you marry a virgin. If that was important to you, and that was part of the deal, then okay, then there are religious prescriptions. But otherwise, the only case I know of is I think of the high priest in ancient Israel would have to have married a virgin. That was the only example I know of biblically of where that was a law. So he couldn't marry, for example, a divorced woman. I think that's true. Now that I'm thinking of it, I think that remains actually, the issue is not virginity, but the issue is divorced. I think to this day in traditional or Orthodox Jewish law, even a regular priest cannot marry a divorced woman. So maybe it wasn't unique to the high priest. I'm sure many of you listening know the answer. But in any event, the issue is not specifically the virginity issue. 1-8-PRAGER-776. So in effect, I'm really also asking, is it even a factor today in any groups or in any men's lives? It might be outside of the United States or outside of Western culture. That may well be. And even then, I am curious as to what the motivation is. Does a man feel that, you know, she's used goods? The very notion is, to me, somewhat pathetic. Is he worried that she will compare him to another man or men that she's been with? Hard for me to imagine that most women who are in love with a man that they are hoping to marry are thinking, well, you know, Joe was better in bed. But I'm only dealing with what I'm trying to guess might be an issue for some men. 1-8-PRAGER-776-877-243-7776. I will admit that when this man listed his qualifications for a wife, I was, you know, humming along there. I was happy-go-lucky, wanted a conservative, intelligent, pretty, whatever his list was, and then virgin. My boat stopped rowing. I've now created a new saying. There was very little sympathy in me, but there was not. It's not just sympathy. It's not that I object morally, which I do. I mean, to disqualify a woman on those grounds is not fair, in my opinion. And you may be really disqualifying a great woman in your life. But as I said, it's just not comprehensible. Let's say you are religious and for some reason that is an important thing to you. Well, what if the woman had led a secular life and then became religious and then believed that only marriage is for sex? So you're still going to disqualify this woman? Just when you thought it couldn't get any better, Mike Lindell with MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. Now, nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes it even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. For my listeners, the MyPillow 2.0 is buy one, get one free offer with promo code Prager. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listeners square to the buy one, get one free offer. Enter promo code Prager or call 800-761-6302 to get your MyPillow 2.0 now. Where I go, there you are. This is the male-female hour every Wednesday, second hour. And the subject is men who value virginity. In fact, forgetting value, who regard it as a sine qua non. If you're not, I'm not going to date you even. And I don't relate to that. Obviously, there are those who do. But so I'm asking how you regard it. San Antonio and Rhonda. Hello, Rhonda.
Hello, Dennis. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you.
I have an older son that is single. And
How old is he?
He's 40.
Okay.
And I think one of the things that has prevented him from marrying is because he's always had a strong sense of right and wrong, and I've always appreciated that, but he's kept himself pure. He's never slept with anybody, and he feels like he knows that a lot of the girls that he dates have, and they've slept around, and he doesn't want to marry somebody that slept around when he hasn't. And a part of me kind of understands that because I didn't sleep with anybody before I married, but I found out after I married that his dad had. So I understand that feeling of betrayal as far as that goes.
Well, wait, like, was the betrayal in your case because your husband didn't level with you or because he had not been a virgin?
Well, it might have been a little of both. I don't know what I had done if he had leveled with me before marriage, but it would have been nice to know, to have known.
Yes, that, I agree with you. I do agree with you. I think people should tell people everything. If you hide before marriage, you'll certainly hide after marriage. So, by the way, what happened with your marriage? Did it last?
Well, that marriage did not last, and we were divorced. And
after how many years?
After about 10 years.
Mm-hmm. But you had this child.
Yeah.
You had two children with this man. Are you married now?
I mean, yes, I'm remarried.
So the man you remarried, I assume, was not a virgin when you married him.
No, he had been married before, as I had. I mean, I couldn't hold that standard up, could I? I mean, you know.
Right. No. So wait. So you're living proof that it doesn't matter.
You would think so. And my son thanks a lot, and of my husband. And I felt like God gave me that husband so that my children could see that, you know, I needed them to have a father, you know, in their life. And it was my father for a long time, and then this man, and he's been a good father to them.
So I'm curious, does your son want to get married? Does he really want to, or does he say he wants to?
I think he was really wanting to get married when he was in high school, and he did everything the way that I think a young person should do it. And I don't care who it was or what, he just seems to have, he always had feelings for somebody that had no feelings for him. He's had his heart broken multiple times, and things just never worked out for him for one reason or another. But then, you know, there were some people that really cared for him, and he just didn't have feelings for him. So it just never worked out. And it's been very painful for me to watch because, like I said, he talked about being a father and a husband when, you know, at a young age.
So is he religious?
Yes.
So if I were to say to him, what do you think God wants more for you? That you remain unmarried because you can't find a virgin, or that you find a non-virgin and make a religious home and family?
That's a great question. I never thought of putting it that way, and maybe I'll ask him that question. I would love for him to be able to sit down with you.
Yes, so do I. I'm using you as a conduit. I really wish I could. My friends, I have to put this as honestly, but in no way meant defensively. The amount of rational thinking in the human race is minimal. But I'm sure she'll ask him that question now that I posed it that way. So God wants you not to make a family. Right? Not to marry, not to make a family, even though he said it's not good for man to be alone. He didn't say better to be alone if you can't find a virgin. I know my Bible pretty well. I don't see a hint of that one. A lot of people use religion rather than live it. Okay. All right, let's see here. I never would have thought to even choose this topic, but for the fact that this single man called in and mentioned it as a necessity in whom he would choose. Marika in Southern California, hello.
Yes, hi, Dennis. What a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you.
My whole family was really big fans. Anyway, I was a virgin. I've been in a month or so, I'll be 40 years married. Ironically, my husband's 17 years older than I am. And I grew up in the 80s in New York City. Actually, I'm from Brooklyn, not too far from where you were from, but I went to school in Manhattan. And it was a time of the AIDS scare, herpes scare, and simply, I come from a nationality that's not necessarily religious, but very family oriented. And, you know, there wasn't like, where would you do it? Limited space in small apartments, you know? But I dated only about two guys, and it was important to both of them. And I married my husband, who it was important to. And I think my experience has been that it's a lot of times with men, they just, they feel that they maybe if a woman has more experience, then they would be more likely to be to play around. I also, one factor that kept me that way was it my choice only because my mother had been promiscuous.
Wow. Okay. Back in a moment. helps. You got to put the mic on. Really, really, that's an important button. Male, female hour every Wednesday, second hour. Is it important to you or somebody you know? Is it important to him, usually a him, maybe a her too, that the person he marries is a virgin? I never thought to ask this question since I didn't think it was particularly operative in the time in which we live, but it is, apparently. In fact, it was a caller who gave me this idea, who said it was important to him. It's such an interesting question, because the question always arises, why is it important to you? I mean, obviously anybody, the most religious person, for example, will see no religious issue in marrying a divorced woman, let's say, who's obviously, or presumably, obviously, not a virgin. So it's not virginity as such. I understand people who believe that the place for sexual relations is the marital bed. I respect that. I have great sympathy for it in the final analysis. But still, wanting a virgin, especially if you're not, I'd like to know why. All right, let's see here. So Marika, I thank you for your call. And she married a man 17 years old. She was a virgin. I presume that he was not. And I thank you. And her mother was promiscuous. And I remember the call. And she did not want to emulate her mom. It's an interesting question. How much not wanting to be like a parent, one of your parents, how much does that animate people? See, I get topics from you. I would have never thought of that topic. That's a Happiness Hour topic. How much do you not want to be your father if you're a man? How much do you not want to be your mother if you're a woman? You know, when I hear these things, I'm very open and even, as one caller put it, transparent. And I did that deliberately in the very beginning of my broadcast life. So sometimes it really occurs to me, I'm very lucky. I mean, it occurs to me every day how lucky I am. But I haven't been bedeviled by those issues. I never thought, thank God, I would say, I don't want to be like my father. I didn't think I wanted to be like my father, and I didn't think I didn't want to be like my father. My father played a positive role as a role model in my life, which is in many ways, it's obvious. It's for a boy, a dad model is really important. It's why if a father shames a family, it is extremely hard on the children, especially a son. Okay, let's go to your calls here. In good old Claremore, Oklahoma, Victor, the famous Victor of Claremore. Hello.
Hello, Dennis. I'm a transplant from Southern California. I was born in Los Angeles, and 3 years ago I came out to Claremore.
Are you happy you moved?
I'm very happy. I couldn't be happier.
I believe it.
Anyway, let me give you a little of my thoughts on the subject. I will be 70 years old tomorrow, or next month.
Happy birthday.
I'm engaged. Thank you. I'm engaged to a wonderful woman. This will be my third marriage. We are planning to get married in the Catholic Church. I grew up a Catholic, left for about 50 years and came back. And my first marriage, I was...
All right, hold on. All right, wait. It's a good place to stop. Don't hang up. I want to hear your story. Last 3 days of the March fundraising month for PragerU. If you're worried about this country, and especially its young people, and you should be, we are a major, major force in offering them healthy, beautiful, noble values, micro and macro. Everything is free so that we can reach as big an audience as possible. We do reach a gigantic one with 1 billion views a year. And most of them, 65%, are under 35 years of age. It's only possible because people donate. And whatever you give this week, the three remaining days, is tripled. So please go to PragerU.com or call 833-PRAGERU. Thank you for whatever you give. Back to Oklahoma and Victor, who will be married for his third time in the Catholic Church this time. The subject is those who value virginity before marriage or when they marry. So what's your story? You're marrying and...
My story was the first time I got married, I was 21. She was a virgin, although I will say we had intercourse one time before we got married. But it was a horrible marriage from the start. It lasted 11 years, and I had three sons. That's the only positive thing about the marriage. Being Catholic, I didn't believe in divorce. Should have let that go, but didn't.
Wait. Were you married in the church?
No, I was married in her church. She was a Protestant.
Okay. So I don't remember. What is the Catholic Church's view is, of course, if you want to have a Catholic wedding, you have to have either not been married or widowed or annulled. But does that hold true if it's a non-Catholic wedding?
I had to have both of my marriages annulled. My first marriage, as I said, was in the Protestant church. My second marriage was in the church, but she was brought up Catholic. So I had to have both annulled. But since I did not file for divorce, my annulment was pretty smooth and pretty quick.
All right, so in a nutshell, what does this have to do with the virginity subject?
Well, when I grew up, my dad said to me, and he gave me a lot of good advice, but one of them I didn't agree with. He said, you want to marry a virgin. And I thought, well, that probably, had some impact on my thinking at that time, but when I got married to my second wife, who was 5 years older than me and much more experienced, I was far more satisfied. I think this idea of marrying a virgin doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, it's clear that's what you believe. And I thank you for calling. I have great respect for people. I have a very broad bandwidth of acceptance of theologies and practices and traditions. So if you have a tradition that you should be a virgin and marry a virgin, it's not my understanding, even though I do believe ideally intercourse is reserved for marriage. Nevertheless, it is not my understanding of something that would be important to me in choosing a wife. So the question is, why is it? And that's what I'm asking. All right, let's see here. Cedar Lake, Indiana. Jeff, hello.
Hello. First-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you.
And I really appreciate you. But I married my wife 40 years ago now. She had two children when we got married, who I adopted. But I think way, I was a virgin. I was a virgin. She obviously was not. In a way, you have to forgive them for that. In a way. In other words, you can't bring it up. You can't.
Well, forgive me, Jeff. Wait, forgive me. What is there to forgive her for? What sin did she commit?
Well, you just have to not bring it up to her that, you know, she had been, she was married.
Well, she had children.
She had children, right. She had to get married for her first marriage. So it was that, but... Just in a way, you have to, in a way, forgive. Like I say, in a way, forgive.
Right, but forgiving implies, forgive me. Maybe you want to say forget, but forgive implies that she did something wrong.
Correct. You're right. I would say forget.
Okay, all right. That's what you mean. Okay, fair enough. Look, whatever helps a marriage, I'm for, okay? End of issue. Having said that, I just don't personally relate to the need to forget that. The woman that I am happily, delightfully, happily married to, whom I met 19 years ago last week, had two kids too. It doesn't occur to me that it would be an issue. And I'm being respectful. As I said, all that matters is what helps your marriage. But I try to understand people's thinking that if I don't have that thinking, if I think like others, I can explain it. But if I don't think like others, it's hard for me to explain. And that's why I'm having this hour. I want people to tell me why it is important to them or to somebody else. I can't get that 40-year-old son out of my mind from earlier in the hour. Back in a moment. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Dennis Prager Show. I bring to you stories every day that betoken the age of staggering confusion and darkness in which we live, where virtually every elite is morally and intellectually corrupt, very often financially corrupt, but that's actually not as bad as the other corruptions. Here's an amazing story. Woke ideology corrupts Canada's math curriculum. National Review. 2 + 2 no longer equals 4, according to members of the Ontario Mathematics Coordinators Association. OMCA. Ontario Mathematics Coordinators Association. Who consider the equation to be a white supremacist dog whistle instead of a basic mathematical truth. Sean, I think we need a recording of a dog whistle. I don't know what that sounds like, however. You played a dog whistle? I see. Silence. Okay, I'm missing something. I haven't heard it once. Okay, so something is awry, Sean, as I'm hearing nothing. All right, clearly he's fooling around with me. But that violates Alan's rule. Your point is you can't hear a dog whistle. Oh, only the dog can. Oh, I missed it. You're right. I knew that. All right. He's right. He was right. He played nothing. That's a dog whistle because I'm a human. What if I identify as a dog? Could I hear a dog whistle then? These are truly existential questions to be posed in our age. Okay, so it's a dog whistle for white supremacy. Now, do you realize something? You probably don't, so it needs, it's not your fault. This is really getting into the weeds. But if, in fact, the belief that 2 plus 2 equals 4 is a function of white supremacy, then those who say that are saying whites are, in fact, supreme. If you have to be a white to believe 2 plus 2 equals 4 and nothing else, no other answer is accurate, then whites are superior. That's what you are saying. Those of us who do not believe in white supremacy, unlike the left and the woke, we don't believe in it. We believe in the supremacy of values, irrespective of your race. And one value is that math has right answers. In fact, math, I am told, is the purest of all disciplines, since it is the only one with objectively, absolutely objectively correct answers. It is one of the joys, I am told, of engaging in mathematics. See, in science, that's not true. It's sometimes true, but it's not always true. It's always true in math, but it's not always true in science because science evolves. Math doesn't evolve. People may discover more things about math or in math, but it doesn't evolve. 2 and 2 will always be 4. That always was, is, and will be, somewhat like Lenin. Lenin žil, Lenin živjot, Lenin budit žit. Lenin lived, Lenin lives, Lenin will live. One of the joys of my graduate studies in Soviet life and Russian language. 2 and 2 lived, 2 and 2 lives, 2 and 2 plus 4 will live. According to a webinar created by UMCA, that is the Orlando Mathematics Coordinators Association, created by UMCA President Jason Toe, T-O, proponents of math's political neutrality who use the phrasing 2 plus 2 equals 4 are engaged in an act of covert white supremacy. I have a big smile on my face, which if you go to the Salem News Channel, you can verify. Yes, he's proud of me, my engineer, as he should be. That was an act of extraordinary achievement, getting the name right. I really debate whether I should laugh or not. It's a very odd thing to have something utterly laughable be so serious. The assault on truth is the defining element of the left. It is not just that truth is not a left-wing value and has not been since Vladimir Lenin. It is that a defining characteristic of the left is there is no truth. 2 and 2 may not be 4. You are a boy, but if you think you're a girl, you're a girl. It is identical. My friends, it is identical. And this is no knock on these kids, these poor kids. It is a knock on a society that says, oh, of course you're not a boy. Of course you're not a girl. Of course, 2 and 2 is not 4. There is no difference between negating 2 and 2 is 4 and negating that there is a biological definition to male and female. The covert forms, however, it doesn't matter. You see, what one of the great lessons of this recent past is, for at least half the population, truth is what they are told it is by ideologues. If you're told that a boy who says he's a girl is a girl, that men do menstruate, that men do give birth, that men can compete in female sports, half the population says, yeah, of course. There is nothing, including 2 plus 2 equals 4, that is not negotiable if enough people say it to you. That's the lessons of Orwell. The covert forms of white supremacy allegedly plaguing mathematical education include, quote, ready? Eurocentric math curriculum, standardized testing, and just stick to math. Or, I don't see color in my math class. Or, of course, math is neutral because 2 plus 2 equals 4. These, all of those statements are to be jettisoned, says the president of UMCA, the Ontario Mathematics Coordinators Association. Former UMCA president Heather Theismeier, Theijsmeijer, I assume it's pronounced that way, or Theismeier, who originally publicized the webinar, serves as the program director for middle and high school math students in the Rainbow District School Board, the largest district of Northern Ontario. Her social media history conveys a deep support for OMCA's view of mathematics as a potentially malign force. More, unfortunately. Love won't treat you like that. No, honey, no. I have to tell you, this article has mesmerized me. The notion that 2 plus 2 equals 4 is covert white supremacy, that it's a dog whistle to racists. So that's what they're saying in Ontario, the most populous, I believe, province in Canada. So I continue reading from this amazing article. I'll restate the last part to bring you up to speed. Former OMCA, that's the Ontario Mathematics Association, President Heather Theismeier, who originally publicized the webinar, serves as the program coordinator for middle and high school math students, the largest district in Northern Ontario. Her social media history conveys a deep support for OMCA's view of mathematics as a potentially malign force. You hear that? Math is a potentially malign, as in malignant, force. In one tweet, Theismeier pointed her followers to commentary by Laurie Rubel, an associate professor of mathematics education. Uh-oh, whenever I see education and professor together, I assume foolishness follows. Explaining that proponents of 2 plus 2 equals 4 are grounded, quote, in white Western mathematics that marginalizes other possible values. Well, that is true. By saying 2 plus 2 equals 4 and all other answers are incorrect, You are, in fact, marginalizing other values. That's correct. You are marginalizing incorrectness. Oh, boy. Rebel argued that supporters of math's political neutrality were oblivious to a deeper point. Quote, it's, are you ready? This is why they're so dangerous, among many other reasons. It's about truth. Who holds the truth? Who decides what is true? And how open we are as a society to multiple truths. It's very rare that I applaud something I read to you. But this leftist is as honest as the day is long. That is what it is about. It's all about that. Who holds the truth? Who decides what is true? And how open we are as a society to multiple truths. There is no such thing as multiple truths in math or multiple truths in most disciplines. There may be multiple truths in marital disputes. But that's different. Certainly in science, technology, engineering, and math, there aren't multiple truths. There may be multiple errors, but there aren't multiple truths. Now, what is it, Oprah's statement? Well, you know, what's your truth? That's what it's come. It's, as I wrote years ago, we live in the age of feelings. Right. What is Ben Shapiro's famous statement? Feelings don't care about what? The facts. Oh, facts don't care about feelings, right. Facts don't care about feelings. But we, your feelings? Okay. Facts don't care about your feelings. That's correct. But the left only cares about your feelings. How you feel is everything. That's why the transgender issue is so big. You feel you're a boy, you're a boy. You feel you're a girl, you're a girl. You feel 2 and 2 is not 4, it's not 4. By the way, the Oregon Education Department has already implemented this. This is not unique to Ontario in Canada. But that's one of the great lines. Who holds the truth? Who decides what is true? And how open we are to multiple truths. Although Rubel acknowledged the equation literally, quote-unquote, equals 4, the statement, quote, is used as a kind of basic truth and way to ridicule many critiques of mathematics as white and as Western and as exclusionary. That's correct. We do use that to ridicule critiques of math that state it is white, Western, and exclusionary. If math is white and Western, then white and Western are definitely superior. That is the irony. It is an insult to non-whites and non-Westerners to say 2 + 2 = 4 is white and Western. As math has become hyper-politicized, test scores have continued to plummet. This is about Ontario. Not even half of sixth grade students meet provincial math standards at present. 52% of ninth graders met the bar during the 2021-22 school year, down from 75% just 3 years prior. Huh. Wow. Well, I don't understand why it's not at 0%. If they're taught that there's no objective answer, that it's a dog whistle to white supremacists to say 2 + 2 = 4, and that there's only one right answer, I don't know why it hasn't plummeted to 0. I don't even know why they grade them, since all answers, right, multiple truths, all answers are accurate. What is your answer? What do you feel 2 and 2 is? It's all being destroyed. I will return to the Ontario story momentarily, that the schools there do not believe that 2 plus 2 equals 4 is an immutable truth, but rather a dog whistle to white supremacy. But now it is a delight, a daily delight in fundraising month for PragerU, which is March, to have another young member of I Learned Yesterday. We're just about at 20,000 members around the world, high school and college students in Prager Force. And so we have one whom I just met right a few moments ago. His name is Leo Celerole. And Leo, welcome to the Dennis Prager Show.
Thank you for having me on, sir.
Well, it's a delight. Whenever I meet you, Prager Force people, it brings me, as you can only imagine, tremendous joy, and more importantly, gives people hope for the future. You know, that's a good question for me to ask you, because I take these opportunities to see how people are thinking, especially your generation. So, you live in a generation where we are regularly told America is basically a racist cesspool. Our past is evil. You will probably end up dying of heat because of carbon emissions. And as I'm reading on the air, there's no real truth. 2 plus 2 is what you make of it. You may, if you say you're a girl and you're a boy, you're a girl. If you say you're a boy and you're a girl, you're a boy. Does this affect you emotionally or in any other way?
I mean, I would say it's very distressing that so many of my generation believe in those views. Like I was going to say, it's just trying to stay the course in a world that's continually kind of growing not to be logical anymore. They don't think logically, they think emotionally. Feelings reign supreme instead of logic. It's hard to stay the course, but I think I found a way to keep on it.
And what is that way?
I mean, for me, it's personally just my values, my character. It's something I want to stay, you know, steadfast with, and I don't feel the need to stray the course from. And honestly, what other people think, it's so funny because you think the left that preaches this, it doesn't matter what other people think about you, yet they seem to be the supreme people who worry about what everyone's thinking about them. And I think that's the key for us as conservatives when we're surrounded in a world that, you know, people are slowly losing their minds and thinking more emotionally than rationally. We just do not care what those people think. We're going to be kind. We're going to be respectful. But we believe what we believe, and we are comfortable enough with ourselves to believe that.
Has this been difficult to achieve, or you've pretty much have felt like this for years?
I would thank my mother for that. She gave me a good upbringing and instilled this in me, and I haven't struggled with it much. I'd say I think more than others, I'm more fortunate because I haven't had to struggle in certain environments the way other students or young people do. For example, I've done most of my schooling remotely, so I'm not in a public school or even a Christian school that's gone, you know, a little more woke. So I don't have to combat that head on, but definitely you still come up against it.
Do you have close friends?
I would say not at the moment. In fact, I've lost a lot of them because of my views, but that's very typical, right?
That's why I asked you the question. I had no idea what you would say. Yes, it is typical. That is entirely accurate. But I'm hopeful, and I think realistically so, that at least within Prager Force, you will meet kindred spirits.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the wonderful thing about Prager Force and PragerU in general, is there's something for everybody, and there's a way to get connected with all sorts of various people, whether they be more like peers or even some of the different voices you have present on your platform. Mm.
I asked you my original question because I wonder what it's like to be young and to see vast numbers of the adults of your civilization go mad. I did not have that. The adults, when I was a kid your age, were generally respectable and respectworthy.
Something you could look up to.
Yeah. So that's a loss for you.
To kind of answer your question.
It's a kind of what? I'm sorry?
I would agree.
Yeah, there's something.
No, I would agree with you. Yeah. It is a loss. And it's something that is a guiding force that the youth of today does not have. Instead, we're, you know, having the younger generations of the past grow up and they've remained staunch in their ideology.
They remain children. I'm going to continue with you in a moment. Please hang on. These conversations are illuminating. Dennis Prager here. Thanks for listening to the Daily Dennis Prager Podcast. To hear the entire 3 hours of my radio show, commercial-free, every single day, become a member of Pragertopia. You'll also get access to 15 years' worth of archives, as well as the daily show prep. Subscribe at Pragertopia.com.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.